to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 16 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to spend some time talking about some of the tips that we'd want to tell our best friend to do at Walt Disney World when they go down. This is Ed.
This is Jimmy.
This is Farrah.
Hey, this is Tom.
And here we go.
Do you like Canadian music? Do you like rock and roll? Do you like Celtic rock? Do you like fun? Then get ready for all of this and more, eh? With the music of Canada, from the Northwest Territory to Quebec, and from Nova Scotia to the Yukon, please welcome Off Kilter!
All right, how you guys doing? We're gonna start on some wheels. Let's see you guys clap your hands around with us just like this. Woo!
So on this week, what we decided to do was give out some of the tips that we've come across in our trips to Walt Disney World and kind of give those out to some of the people that might be going down anytime soon. These are some of the things that you really would want to do but aren't going to find in any of the guidebooks, things we've kind of picked up over the years that we've been going. So what we'll do, we'll probably go one by one and talk about each of the items. I think, Jimmy, you could start.
You know, my number one thing that you probably won't find in most guidebooks is the Voices of Liberty. It's probably one of the things I have to do every time I go down to Walt Disney World is go to Epcot, go to America, the American Adventure Building, and watch the Voices of Liberty, which is basically just an a cappella group that sings Americana songs, and it's pretty much just the pre-show for the main attraction in the American Adventure, the show The American Adventure. So that's probably one of my biggest things.
And just to tie into that, there are so many other acts, music acts around the parks, that it's definitely something you should look forward to seeing or look forward to see. And it only takes a couple minutes to stop and listen. Epcot itself has a number of bands that are kind of themed to the lands they're in. Mo Rockin' is in Morocco. Really good Moroccan type music. Over in Canada, what's the name of the band over there?
Off Kilter.
Which is great. Really, really fun.
So good.
Fun band to listen to, especially when it's like starting to get dark out in the park.
I was gonna say, and they're not bad to look at either.
Just because of the kilts, I'm sure.
Yes, and they're pretty well built, from what I remember. Anyway, proceed.
Magic Kingdom also has a lot of music to offer. The Main Street Philharmonic is great to listen to, and the Dapper Dans if you like barbershop quartet type music. So
absolutely,
there's a lot of different musical things to find in the parks that are all free. It just comes with admission.
Have you all seen the Voices of Liberty, sat down and listened to them?
I haven't.
We have.
I think it's maybe half a show once. I don't know if I've ever seen the whole thing.
If anybody has a chance to go to my YouTube channel, I have a video of Voices of Liberty. I probably have two videos up there.
Imagine that.
Yeah, I know. just so that you guys know it, you can do a search on MAZ24681. That'll get you to my YouTube page. And you would do that search on YouTube.
Okay.
Okay, one thing I thought was kind of interesting. Do you know that Goofy statue sitting on a bench in the front of Main Street, by where Mickey Mouse is?
Sure.
Well, it's kind of a funny story. When my son was like 4 years old, he sat on that bench because my son, he adores Goofy. He sat there, and all of a sudden he says, "Mommy, Goofy, talk to me." And Christina's like, "You okay?" I'm sure he did. You know, it was kind of completely blowing him off. And then it happened again, like, 4 years later. Cause it's like, Mom, Goofy said something to me. And Christy's like, okay, Xavier, he said something to you. Sure enough, that when we got home, we read that Goofy does talk. It's not all the time. It's not very frequent, but it does talk. If you look in his mouth, there's actually is a speaker in his mouth for when he does speak. So my son wasn't imagining this. He was talking to him, even as far back when he was four. So yeah, Christina kind of we both ate some crow on that one. that Goofy does indeed talk to you every once in a while.
Oh, very cool. I did not know that.
That is a good one. I didn't know that either. That leaves me. Trying to think which one to say first. I'm going to say the one that because I have one, but I think it might actually be in the guidebook, but one of the little known things. I'm going to say it's kind of a little, not a trick, but it's kind of a maneuvering that we always do. And I've referenced it in some previous shows a little bit, but I think in particular on the day when you go to Epcot, because I don't know what it is about Epcot that just drives me bonkers, the walk from the buses all the way. You know, if you're staying on a resort, the walk from the buses to the park entrance.
Oh, it's crazy long.
It drives me nuts.
Don't even start.
That one in Animal Kingdom probably are the longest. That's
yes.
Probably the longest two walks.
Yes, and I haven't figured out one for the Animal Kingdom yet, but on the day that we do Epcot, I always schedule some sort of one of our dinners, because we do a lot of the sit down dinners, but like maybe like a character breakfast at the yacht club or the beach club, or you know, one of those, or a midday meal or an evening meal. We make sure to schedule some meal at one of those that's on that boardwalk area, the boardwalk, the yacht club, beach club, and. Well, the Swan and the Dolphin are there too, but we don't really schedule the meals there. But and then what we do is we go in the morning for the dinner and we park there, and then we go to our breakfast or breakfast with the character, and then we just take the international entrance. Now, obviously, the international entrance is something that's in the guidebooks, but it surprises me how many people don't know that you can get into Epcot through there, or that it's not just for people that stay at the yacht club or the beach club or one of those.
Sure.
So my tip is whenever possible, try to use the international gateway entrance to Epcot. It's, you know, to me, it's just a lot better.
That's a pretty good tip.
Thank you.
Does it, so you really have to, you still have to make the reservation to get the parking over there, though. You have to actively like.
Do you really?
Well, every time I go to, every time well. I go to the hotel, they always check that clipboard. Do you have a reservation? Yes, I do. And then he looks at the clipboard as if he's checking to see if my name is
on.
No.
So what if? So
on that clipboard, baby.
So what if you're not going to a reservation? What if you going? What if a friend of mine, Bob, is staying at the boardwalk and I'm just going to visit him at his room?
I don't know how they'd run that there, but as far as just to visit a friend, I guess they can't say no.
No, because especially that area, because the boardwalk's got so many activities that are not, you know, I mean, they all those restaurants, the ESPN club, all that, that's not just
yeah,
so
well, sure there's the no reservations there. At ESPN club, hey, we're going to have a few drinks at the ESPN club.
There's those piano bars that's around the, you know, thing. All
yeah,
those
jelly rolls and
well, answer me this. Dance. I don't know anything about the Epcot hotels over there. Do they have their own parking? Like, I know the monorail hotels, yeah, the way their deluxes are set up, and the Polynesian's got its little parking lot on this side of the main road, and then the other side of the road. Same with the Grand Floridian, but they're very strict about what cars go in there, and. So that's what I'm wondering. Is there a separate parking lots over there for the rest of the boardwalk stuff?
I imagine there is. I imagine it's not just for the resort, because I mean the boardwalk, you have the Epcot hotels, all the nightclubs and ESPN bar and all that stuff. So they may have a specific parking almost like Downtown Disney does, just for people to go visit those places.
I don't think so. I think it's just I mean, I think it's just the parking lot for the different hotels. And everything. But I can tell you, we do this every day that we're down there all the time. I've never had an issue ever. In fact, kind of another little tip is if you do that a lot, there's a like pay one price per day valet fee. I think it's like $22 or whatever. So you can do the valet parking. You can pull right up to the hotel, do the valet parking, and that valet ticket is good at any of the hotels for that day.
And, okay. So,
that's another little thing, you know, if that should fit within your plans.
Right. Well, that's good to know.
Just real quick, another thing we do, another just quick tidbit on parking at Epcot is you can generally find the AAA Diamond Parking Passes on eBay. So you can usually find those for $8 or $10. And if you use that to get to go to Epcot, you park pretty much right up front. It's not as close as handicap parking, but it's right pretty much beside it.
One other tip before we leave Epcot parking, and this one I've been able to try out during the off seasons, during the middle of the summer's busy months, and also during spring break. If you get there a half hour before the park opens or an hour before the park opens, you're guaranteed to park in the first three or four rows in the parking lot within real quick walking distance to the entrance in the park right there. So that rope drop thing is definitely something you got to take advantage of. And if the park opens up at 9 o'clock, you're getting up at maybe 7 o'clock to get out of the hotel, get prepped, get into the car or get to the bus and get over there. That's not really that much earlier than most of us get up for work anyway. Granted, it's a vacation, but we're down there to tour Disney, so getting up at 7 shouldn't be a big issue. And like I said, we almost always park in the front just because it's earlier in the day.
And I would tell you, I mean, that's a pretty good tip because if you do get in the front couple of rows, even the first 15 rows at Epcot, it's not a very long walk. It's probably closer than the buses are.
Oh, sure. Yep. Well, there's that first break of trees that are in the parking lot, and I'll walk from even there because it's not that bad of a walk. You're walking towards Spaceship Earth, and if it's a nice day, you know, it doesn't really matter that much.
Yeah, it's a pretty big sidewalk there. Yeah, you're right.
Now, as far as my tip that I would tell a friend before they go down to Disney World, and this kind of ties into what we're just talking about, is when you go to Epcot and Disney Hollywood Studios, a lot of the time the big wait is getting through the bag check lines and then also getting through the getting online for the turnstiles, especially if you're there for rope drop. One of the things that many people don't realize is there's a second entrance or a second bag check at both places. Hollywood Studios, it's basically where the trams pull into their parking spot to let people off. Well, right there on the left, where the buildings begin, there's a little convenience stand there. You could buy film and juice and things like that. Well, even closer to the parking lot than that, there's a security guard. So when you're walking from the parking lot, if you're walking to the park on the left side of the trams, you walk along that sidewalk, it brings you right up to where that guard is. And 9 times out of 10, there is nobody there with him. He's there by himself waiting for people to show up.
Wow.
AAA Diamond Parking Pass. If you use that, it puts you right there, and you just cross over the tram, the little tram lane, and you go right there. It's right on the left-hand side. You kind of, when you cross over the street, you'll kind of see the infrastructure for Indiana Jones. And you just follow that building, and you're right. It's just one little stand, and usually there's one guard there, and you just walk through. You're right.
One lonely guard, right.
Pretty much the same. I mean, facing Epcot, it's pretty much in the same area. If you're looking at Epcot Spaceship Earth, it's all the way off to the left.
Yeah. When you cross the street, you have two options. One, you go to where the trams are letting people out, which actually is not that convenient if you think about it. Because you have all those stanchions and the lines and stuff like that. So you're always kind of finagling your way through there. If you go to the left side, you'll see where the guard is on that side. There's a swinging gate. You walk through that. Sometimes there's two guards at those tables. Most of the time it's only one. And as soon as you get through there, then you're basically on the left side of the turnstiles. So that's where you start looking for your line.
That's an excellent tip.
Yeah. So, you know, definitely something to look forward to. Always go where people aren't. You follow people when you get off the monorail at the Magic Kingdom into the bag lines. Keep your eyes open. Always look left and right, because usually when you start following people, the lines form while there's a guard waiting over there with nobody in front of them.
I like it.
That's an excellent tip. Yeah. So my other tip that I have that I know is not in the guidebook is if you're staying at Wilderness Lodge, and I've mentioned it maybe in a previous show. If you're staying at Wilderness Lodge, when you check in, I forgot what they call it, but it's the flag raising ceremony. There's a flag raising ceremony off of the main house every morning. And if you, when you check in, you check to see if a family has, you know, all, if all the spots have been assigned, if they've all been taken by families, or at least just inquire, and they'll tell you, you know, how and when you can get your name in if there are any openings. But what they get to do is they go, it's like 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the morning, they go up with a Disney cast member to the top, and they literally, there's a flag ceremony where, and they're looking at, they're at the top of the lot of the main house in the lobby, looking out over the entire place. It's supposed to be a really, really cool view. And it's just something completely neat and different. To do that, you know, not a lot of people know about.
Oh, no doubt.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Sounds like a that's good memory.
Really cool. Yeah, that's really cool.
So you just have to be there that early in the morning, though, before anybody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, very cool.
So after some thought, you know, one of the things I really like to do is really go enjoy the transportation stuff at Magic Kingdom. Like the train. A lot of people think maybe the train is just strictly for transportation to get around the Magic Kingdom. But there's some really cool stuff you can see with the Indians and the deer and stuff like that, all the little animatronics back when you're riding the train and traveling on the train through that last little scene in Splash Mountain. So that's one of the things that I think a lot of people probably take for granted. They think that a lot of that stuff is just for transportation purposes. And the other thing, transportation-wise, I really enjoy is riding the riverboat in Liberty Square and listening to the narration, because it's pretty. I mean, it's Mark Twain, right?
Oh, it's great. It's Mark Twain. Yeah, he's leading us around the river and explaining all the different things about it. We actually did that for the first time last year, and very, very fun. I never realized how involved it was.
If you really sit there and listen to the narration, it's really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep. One of the things that really stuck out, we recorded it because the kids and I were doing our podcast down there. And when we listened to it again afterwards, you can hear the riverboat almost breathing. The way that the engine was working and how it was paddling and things like that. When there's nobody talking and it's a little quiet, you can hear the breathing in the background in and out.
Almost like the bellows, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And another cool thing about that on the riverboat is if you like to take pictures, you can get shots of Thunder Mountain and the Haunted Mansion. You can get fantastic views to take pictures of the Haunted Mansion and, you know, both of those. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. We did that last time. I got way too many pictures of both because they were such good shots.
Yeah. Well, you can really, when you're coming around by the Thunder Mountain, you can kind of catch them dropping out the side of that mountain right there. I mean, that's probably where they film the promotional video, you know, the promotional videos of the parks.
Mm-hmm. We did go on the riverboat. It was pretty cool because we had a whistle fight with the train as it was going by. So it was pretty cool in that respect.
That's cool. Huh.
Okay. So actually, before we move on, too, I had one other tip about the train. And when we use the train, we kind of use it in thirds, meaning we try to use it to get from one side of the park to the other and try to avoid the walking crowd. And one of the biggest tips we have is that if you do go to the Magic Kingdom rope drop and you're not heading over to Space Mountain or Fantasyland and you want to head to the Frontierland of the park, if the train is still up in the station after the opening ceremony, get on the train. What'll happen is you'll ride at the Frontierland and you basically beat everybody that's walking through the park to Frontierland. Every time we've done this, we've gotten our fast passes for Splash, then we ride Splash, then we rode Big Thunder, And by the time we're done with all of that, we come back and use our fast passes on Splash already. By the time everybody who was walking through the parks are starting to make it to Frontierland, to that part of it.
That's a good tip.
And it's always worked. The only like fly in the ointment there is that if the train is still up in the station, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. So you always got to look up there and be flexible.
Hey, another little quick tidbit about transportation, which just doesn't really kind of get you anywhere, but this happened to me and my wife about 2 years ago, I think. We walked through the tunnels into the Magic Kingdom, like right after Rope Drop. And if you see the trolley there with the horse and it's just sitting in front, hop on it. A lot of people just kind of walk by it like they're not supposed to go by it. But if you hop on it, it'll ride you. You can ride it up Main Street all the way to the castle. And then that's where the cast members get on that do the trolley show, and they do it on the way back to the train station.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different transportation they have. There's a fire engine, I believe, and there is the I believe there's a police car too. But all definitely fun to ride down. It's kind of those little what do they call them? Little I can't remember the name of it, but basically things to kind of thin the crowd out. The same with characters. They have characters where the flag is in that little center area that basically stops some people who want to get character autographs so that it's not the full big press of the crowd toward the attractions right when they open up.
You know, probably not. That's probably part of the reason they put that whole character meet and greet right there up at the front.
Sure, definitely.
Just to draw people as they're coming in the gate, to draw people right there who really want to go meet the characters. You know, I'm not talking about just the ones. I'm talking about the little hall.
You know,
off to the right there where you go, the character meet and greet spot.
Right, but be careful about that, though. When we did that on the trip, we went over there to get some Mickey autographs, and it didn't open up the same time the park opened up. I think at a 9 o'clock opening, it opened up at 9:30. So if you're going over there, you're going over there basically to get online if you're going right at Rope Drop. Definitely check times. That could always change.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if this one still works. I've heard rumors it doesn't, but I'm going to go with it anyway. In Epcot, there's phone booths in England and in Canada. At least at one point, you were actually able to call those phone booths and talk to guests randomly answering the phone.
I've heard that that's not true anymore, but I will tell you that last year in 2012, we were there for Food and Wine Festival, and me and a buddy and his girlfriend sat outside the Rose of Crown drinking a beer, calling that phone, and he was pretending that he was Mickey Mouse. It was the funniest thing in the world, because we were just sitting, he was just sitting there on the cell phone, and we were calling each one, and people would answer it, and they're dragging their friends in there. Somebody's on the phone. So in 2012, it did work, but I've heard since then that they've disconnected them.
I mean, I do have a list of the phone numbers that at least used to be like, for example, the center booth was 407-827-9863.
Right. And as of June, they were closed. July, they weren't working, but they were working over a spring break 2013. Okay. So, yeah, I'm sure finally it got to be someone calling who wasn't saying nice things, perhaps, and they finally had to end it. Although it's funny, Jimmy, because your story was identical with the kids and I. We were sitting right in the same place outside by the Rose and Crown watching the phones, and Quinn couldn't stop calling. He just kept calling over and over and over.
It was, yeah.
So funny. Definitely a way to waste some time.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah, that was a good one. And there was the phones that were over there, and I think there was a phone booth right next to the counter service in England, over between the Rose and Crown and the
Fish and
Chips place.
Yeah, there was one right there in between, and then there was the three on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you guys know I have an affinity for phone booths.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Okay, I have my next one for everyone, and this is kind of a character that you hopefully will see. It's a character you can only find at Animal Kingdom, and she is always going to be hidden in that it's the character Lady Divine. If you've never heard of Lady Divine, she's a character that in Animal Kingdom that basically dresses up like the foliage. She's in green paint and has a lot of vines and branches, and she's also walking on stilts. So she's about 6, 7, 8 feet tall. It's awesome, and if you see a good cast member being divine, basically they are one with the environment.
Are there different cast members that are divine?
Yes.
It's not always the same girl?
No. Well, not I've seen two different girls, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I did not know that. I thought she was a character. I mean, I know she's a character. I thought it was the same person who always did it.
No. Well, I guess not. And it was funny because, not funny, but it was, you could tell the difference also just not by seeing their face, but the way they did the divine character. The one divine character we saw, the better one, she never let go of any branches or trees. At one point in time, she's always touching something that was living. And so it was always pretty cool. As she was moving around, she moved really slowly and carefully. And just being able to see that come out of the environment of Animal Kingdom is always so cool to see her.
I've definitely seen that one, the one you're talking about that kind of just moves real slow. Is she always in the same spot, or does she move? Is she show up at different points?
We've only seen her on the trail between Asia and Africa.
Right where those drums are, right?
Yes, a little past the drums coming from Africa, we've seen her. And then also, you know how they have that one photo spot of the Tree of Life on that trail? Yeah. Right beyond that, too, like right past there.
That's kind of where we've seen her. Uh-huh. Sorry, have you ever seen her?
I'm trying to think. She sounds familiar, but I don't think so.
She walks with stilts. She has stilts on her hands and her feet.
Right.
And they're covered in leaves, so she's very elongated, and she moves very gracefully. And I tell you, when she... Sometimes I've seen her there. We kind of caught her, and people walk right by her. They don't even see her. I mean, she blends with the foliage. And then all of a sudden, she'll just start moving. It's crazy.
Right, and it's not a character where you're going to get an autograph. This is basically somebody you could take a picture with, but not interact or talk to, or she's not going to talk back. Right. At least I haven't seen her talk back.
No, I don't think she talks. Look up a YouTube video, Farrah. Ed probably has one on his YouTube page.
I have to think about that. I definitely have videos of her, though.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. It's pretty impressive to watch her. She's very, very graceful.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. I've never seen her either. I've read she's a character in the Kingdom Keeper books in the Animal Kingdom edition, but I haven't.
Is she really?
Her. Oh, yeah. That's cool.
I did not know that.
I'm gonna have to eventually read those.
Me too. I read the first one. I need to. I've got the second one on my nightstand.
Yeah, we keep talking about this. Every, like, 10 shows, we hit this.
Yeah. Maybe me and you need, like, a wager who can read the series the fastest or something.
Get through it.
Get motivate me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll put that on the list. Okay, well, those are some of the tips that we want to tell our friends before they go to Walt Disney World. We're sure you have some of those to share also. So, if you want, give us an email. Write us at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. And let us know some of your best tips for Walt Disney World and touring the parks. We're going to revisit this idea every maybe 5-10 shows, just because it's such a great thing to talk about and kind of share some of these things. Even in the conversation tonight, we didn't even realize some of the things that are going on in the parks. And, you know, we do go often.
What about nerd bits?
Nerd bits?
Instead of tidbits, nerd bits. No? All right. Forget you guys.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
Well, that's it for show number 16. We hope some of these tips will help you out down the road. And again, please send us that email. If you want to check out my YouTube page, again, that was MAZ24681. My blog is the Maz Disney blog.blogspot.com.
And if you're interested in booking a trip, or getting a quote to go down to the Walt Disney World Resort, a Disney cruise, Disneyland, or any other trip for that matter, give us a call at Once Upon a Time Travel. We are a fee-free agency, so it doesn't cost you anything to book with us, and we'd love to help you out. You can email me at onceuponatimetravel@yahoo.com, or look us up on Facebook and contact us, or contact me via the Disney Nerds group.
So that's it for show number 16. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye. Guys.
Could have been worse. I could have came up with something like gray matter or something.
Mark Weldon.
Thank you very much. How you doing, everybody? We will be back again at 5:30. Come back and see us if you get a chance. If not, have a great day, Epcot!